everybody. This is Hop Culture. We're the Hopkins sisters, Claire, Grace, Anne, and Tess. Four sisters living in different time zones, recapping our lives, giving each other unsolicited advice, and hopefully giving you a laugh in the process. Who knows, if you stick around, we might even touch on something substantial along the way. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hey.
Thank you so much for tuning into Hop Culture today. You may have noticed that we skipped a week and we just generally have a lot to catch up on. What's new for everyone?
Well, obviously, we had the eclipse. And it's kind of funny because by the time this comes out, the eclipse will have been like a month ago. But I just feel like we need to kind of just talk about it, those of us. I'm struggling with something that I would like to come clean about, and it's called totality superiority complex.
Oh, no.
Where...
Oh, I should have known this would happen.
Oh, like you're not feeling the same, Grace.
I actually haven't encountered anyone yet to judge. Are there? Is it like...
Well, it's what, just...
Tell me the symptoms.
What I'm suffering is just that because we live in the path of totality... I am turning into one of those people that's just like, until you've experienced totality, it's just not the same. It's just not. You can't, you don't know what it's like. But that is the truth. Like, because what was really interesting was, you know, even 10 seconds before like totality hit, it was still pretty light out. Like, it doesn't really make that big of a difference until you are at 100%. You know, like, wouldn't you agree, Grace? Weren't we talking about this?
Yeah, it's shocking how you can see the tiniest sliver if you look through the glasses, just the tiniest sliver of the sun, and it's almost as bright as it would be non-eclipse.
Yeah, because I saw
just a tiny bit provides the light.
I saw an Instagram post, and I applauded this because, as I've said before, I went on record at the last eclipse and said I wasn't excited about it and I didn't care. And I got some heat for that and I deserved it because it made me sound really unintelligent. But I have to admit, like, unless you are in totality, you kind of are just not going to get the full experience. And so I understand where people are coming from, where they're kind of like, oh, it was cool, but I didn't see the big deal, you know. And it was really fun, but... I don't know that I would travel like 10 hours each way to see it. I just, because I happen to live here, I get to be smug about like, it was life changing.
I wouldn't travel if I had seen one.
Yeah.
But I maintain that I think it's cooler than the Northern Lights. I said that before.
That can be true.
And I stand by it.
Yeah, I actually agree. I actually do in different way, and maybe a different way, but... It's really cool to experience something so just pure with not the whole world, but like the entire state. You know, it's just cool to be like, not even the entire state, but like everyone around you is experiencing this cool natural phenomenon that is just pure and cool. And there's like no downside.
This guy went to tell. So we went to a high school near us to watch it, and this guy who was standing by us, did you see him, Claire? He was pumping both fists in the air.
Yeah, I got a video of it. I posted it on Instagram. I love
so
it.
Good.
It was like he was cheering on like a football team and was like, yeah.
Yeah. He was like a big guy. Like, he was like,
it was just cool because there were people from like all walks of life. You know, it's just like we're all here so excited about this. About the moon covering the sun. Like, it's just, it was just very endearing. I don't know. It was cool. I loved, have you guys seen that video of the, like, meteorologist crying as he's, like broadcasting? It was really sweet.
No.
Yeah, he's, like, getting emotional. It was cool.
That's very sweet.
It was very cool. So, yeah, but I fear smugness has settled in. But enough time has passed. I think I'm able to self-reflect see it in myself.
Now.
Yeah.
You can't.
Exactly.
Be.
It was very exciting, though. So I feel like we need to. Tess, were you guys in totality? Because I know parts of Missouri were.
No, we were not. And I didn't even know that parts of Missouri were, and that would have been good to know ahead of time.
Yeah, how far were you from
I think
that?
We were probably only like, I mean, I think the span of the state was like 3 hours, 4 hours. Oh, so we could have definitely made it. I didn't know. I thought it was, to be honest, I was just uninformed. I thought Cleveland was the closest place to us because Luke really dropped the ball. I blame him for this because he said, I think what happened was he said, oh, Cleveland is going to be in the path of totality. Should we go visit? And I was like, we can't go visit. It's a school weekend. And that was that. And then I was like, I don't care about the eclipse. I kept making big, like, bold statements. Like, and so it wasn't really on Luke, but he seemed like he had more enthusiasm for it than me. So anyway, yeah, I do have regrets. I wish because I think you guys told me that it would be like 20 years and I didn't listen. And then the day of, I was like, 20 years? I have to wait so long to fit in totality?
That's just in the U.S. That's the thing. You can go to South America in October.
Travel to a new country?
I know. But it's very sweet there. So the schools handed out glasses to the kids. And then they're like, if you're done, if your glasses are still in good condition, please send them back in because we're sending them to South America for the children there to like see the eclipse later.
True.
I'm like, it's very sweet.
That.
But Dave and I were laughing. This is dark, but on the way into the high school, the city was like handing out glasses. It's funny because I was so nervous about getting my eclipse glasses. I bought them like a really long time ago. And then in the week leading up, they were handing those things out like candy. Like they were, I mean, the city was handing them out, the schools were handing them out. It was like, there were so many opportunities. But as we were walking in, they were handing them out and we're like, oh, we're good. We have some. Thank you though. And Dave's like, wouldn't it be funny if like the city bought this like bad batch of glasses and it's like full city blinded. But that happened. There was like an article like in Orange, like just a couple suburbs over, I guess like the batch was defective, but I don't think anyone so far has come forward. I shouldn't be laughing. It's not funny, but I don't think anyone's come forward with like vision issues yet, hopefully.
Scary stuff.
It is like kind of scary to think.
Like a lot of our childhood, I feel like Dad talked a lot about how you could stare at the sun for a while.
I feel like I looked at the sun all the time.
He was a big proponent of staring at the sun.
Okay, but in an eclipse,
it's extra bad.
It's worse.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because your pupils, according to Luke, he was very concerned that Gwen was going to look up.
Henry kept trying to look up.
She's 1.5. She's not going to know to like look up at the sun. But he was saying when you look at the sun, normally your pupils contract a ton because they're sensing a lot of light. But when you look at an eclipse, your eyes are not sensing as much light. And so, like, your pupils don't contract as much.
Oh, that totally makes sense.
More
I feel like light. There's no way that's true.
I mean, do we know anyone?
So bright.
This sounds mean. Do we know anyone who's gone blind from looking at an eclipse? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe there are cases.
I think that people exist.
I haven't heard any real life accounts of it. But that is not...
I don't personally know people who've suffered a lot of things that are real.
That's true.
Although all of the internet, 99% of the internet is fake now. It's none of it is real. Have you heard that theory?
Because of Russian bots?
Partly because of bots, partly because of AI. Mm. Apparently since 2018, the internet has not existed. I don't know. There's a big TikTok theory that's happening. I didn't understand it very well, but
I feel like we're spreading a lot of misinformation so far.
Yeah,
in this episode.
We are indeed.
Let me explain why we had to take a week off. My darling Penny broke her arm last week and had to have surgery on it. And so That has been our big event here post-eclipse. So we had some good friends come into town for the eclipse, which was very fun. got to hang out with them. You know, we're riding a high of like a great experience, a fun weekend. Bam, Penny breaks her arm, which I hate to say was a huge shock. When do you ever expect someone to break their arm? But it was just like at our neighborhood playground. It's just so weird when like...
You weren't doing something... She wasn't rock climbing or exactly. doing something that you would be nervous about.
It's just... And that's when accidents happen, right? But it's just like, oh, that's just such a small little outing. And like, she like got to the park and immediately fell off the monkey bars and broke it. So it was... Obviously, very sad. She's doing great now.
Sad.
She's such a sweet little thing. But yeah, she's doing awesome. But that was obviously just an unavoidable, you know, event that we had to cancel. And then
it doesn't really explain why the episode didn't get released on time.
Well, we were going to just gloss over that.
I just forgot to publish it. But not to throw a small child under the bus.
That's true.
I was sort of confused and flummoxed.
Mm-hmm.
There were timelines. There was, what day is the surgery?
Well, poor Grace.
I just kind of got over.
Grace got
just confused.
You know, roped into, that day that she broke her arm, because Dave took her to the emergency room and then we were trying to figure out, you know, he's sending me updates like, you know, we're getting an x-ray. It's broken. She might need surgery. They're going to transfer to a different hospital. You know, so I'm telling Grace, like, can you come over and sit with the kids? Never mind. Can you, like, I was changing plans on Grace literally every 5 minutes.
And I was in
this
corporate training,
mm-hmm.
this terrible corporate training that, like, anyway, it's no excuse. I dropped the ball.
Grace was a lifesaver, though. So she was so helpful. And I felt bad we kept changing plans on her. So. No, it wasn't your fault. And then I got summoned for jury duty yesterday. So there's also that. So it's just been a weird week. Thankfully, I got dismissed. It was very interesting. Have you guys ever been summoned? You have? I didn't know
famously.
That.
Remember her?
It was a violent crime. And I got dismissed because
I don't remember this at all.
I purposely appeared too squeamish. To be fair, I was too squeamish.
Yeah, you are too squeamish.
And so they
violent crimes.
They did not want me on the jury.
So wait, you got summoned and then selected and like questioned?
Yeah.
Questioned. Was this an Anchorage?
Yeah.
And the defendant was representing himself.
Oh, remember? That's not a good idea.
That's a terrible idea. I did not remember that.
I have no violent recollection crime. Of this. Were you like 19?
I believe I was. I must have been 18. Yeah, it was after my freshman year of college. I was home for the summer.
Oh, my word.
I had just gotten a summer job, and I had to tell my boss, like, on my first day, like, I have jury duty, like,
oh, no.
tomorrow. And he's like, oh, try to get out of that or something. I was like, okay.
That's great.
That had crossed my mind.
Yeah. Then I got selected, like, for the very last seat. I almost made it out. But I had watched long enough to learn, like, you can't say, take me off this trial, like, take me off this jury, because you'll just have to get on a different jury. You just have to act as if you're willing to be on the jury, but make it so they don't want you, so that they just dismiss
you. The process there must be way different than how it was here. I won't go into the nitty-gritty details, but I didn't get to see any of the inner workings.
Oh.
They just called. There was a room with hundreds of people, and they just randomly selected groups throughout the day to go up to different judges' courtrooms. And then as they needed more people, they'd be like, we need to see, and they would just read names. And people around me were like, it's like the Hunger Games. So I was like, it really is. Like, my heart was like pounding, like waiting to hear if my name was called.
Like a really low stakes Hunger Games.
It really was. Yeah. But I kind of wanted to get questioned because it just sounded interesting.
Yeah, I really want to see how it works.
They were like, some of the questions, they made us watch this video at the beginning, and they're like, some of the people think the questions are too personal or embarrassing, but it's all part of the process of selecting an unbiased jury. And I was like, I really want to know what the personal questions are. But I told our friend Anne, that's an attorney, and she's like, I can just ask you personal questions if you want. She's like, have you ever been wrong? Have you ever been wronged by a landscaper? I was like, she's like, it's partly really fun and partly really boring. I was like, yeah, I could see both of that. But
yeah,
I was a little bummed I didn't get to get questioned, but I was very grateful I got out of it. But along the lines of people being like, of the your boss saying like, try to get out of it. So many people told me, they're like, you can get out of it. And I'm like, how? Like, I called every number I could find and it always just gave me like an automated recording or sent to a voicemail. Like, I never got through to a person. Yeah,
the whole point is you can't get out of it.
Yeah, yeah. It was required.
Like, I think if you, there's some very extenuating circumstances, but I was like, I think they could dismiss me if I get selected and I say I'm like a full-time caretaker, they might consider dismissing me. But like, I was like, I can't get a hold of anybody who's going to let me off the hook. So anyway, long story short, the only downside was I thought I would make like a jury friend and I didn't make any, I didn't strike up any conversations. I didn't make any friends.
You really, she really was feeling like she was going to be the next season of that jury TV show.
I kind of thought it would be like a, like I'd have a little group of like,
oh my gosh,
people I was in cahoots with like by the end of the day.
Oh.
And my failing was that I went in the quiet room at the beginning of the day because there was soft chairs. And I think that's when friendships were being established. And then after lunch, it was too late. And everyone had made their friends already, so I was just kind of bummed. But I did enjoy eavesdropping on other people's conversations. And
so other people made jury friends.
That
and
was
you.
That
did?
Was my problem. Is I was too late, and then friendships had been made.
What if? Wait, now I can't remember what the show is called. Is it just called Jury Duty?
Yeah, it's just Jury Duty. Grace just mentioned it.
Yeah, she just
I thought she said the jury.
I did. Oh. I didn't remember the name.
Yeah, it's just Jury Duty.
What if, like, yeah, what if a new season of Jury Duty comes out and it was, like, filmed in Cleveland and it could have been you, but you went in the quiet room and so you didn't get on it?
That actually would be so sad. Oh, but sorry, I'm droning on about this. A very quick fact that anyone who listened to Serial Season 3 will find interesting. Judge Gall was one of the judges that they were selecting jurors for. And I was like, that would actually be really interesting. But I wondered if I could say, like, well, I did listen to Serial Season 3 and I have opinions on this judge. And if, like, I would be biased.
Mm-hmm. You would not be on that jury.
It would have been a good way to get out of it. But I was like, oh, my word. Like, for some reason, that was very exciting to me. But I mean, it'd be better if just he wasn't a judge anymore. But, you know, since he was there, might as well meet him.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding. Sorry. That's enough about me and my personal drama. What's everyone else been up to?
Nothing much.
Yeah, nothing around here.
Anne had her girls' trip.
I went on my girls' trip to Chicago. It was so much fun. I had been a little bit nervous because, like, I don't know. The four of us hadn't been all together. So, like,
you just wonder if it's going to be the same.
Yeah. Like, we were like high school best friends. We've been very, you know, roommates with various combinations of us through the years in college. And then since then, like, we haven't really all been together. And so, yeah, it's just like, what if, I don't know, what if, like, someone doesn't, I knew I was going to enjoy being around everyone, but, like, what if someone isn't having fun? Like, you know, you just get nervous.
What if the dynamic is weird?
What if things have changed?
Yeah, it's been so long.
It was like, it was as if nothing had changed. In many ways, we reverted to our high school selves.
We were walking. I could have seen it.
So me too.
Down the street. Oh, you guys used to walk so
in formation,
fast.
2 by 2, and
you were so embarrassing.
Non-stop. I have not just jabbered on that much in years, like probably since high school. Like, just talking and talking and talking and talking. It was so much fun. So yeah, if you have a girls' trip coming up, you know, or a friend reunion of any kind, have no fear. Mm-hmm. You're going to have fun.
That sounds amazing. That sounds
really fun.
Like it needs to happen more often.
Yeah. We were like, we need to start like visiting each other. Because, yeah, like none of us ever have visited each other. And we live all over the place now. So, yeah, we're like, we need to do this way more often.
Mm-hmm. That's so fun. Okay, well, I guess we should get around to our topic today. I did read ahead, but I gotta refresh.
You just gotta get a refresher.
Yeah. So, like we mentioned a few episodes... So, like we mentioned a few episodes ago, we have generally done, like, self-help or personal development type books in the past for our Hop Culture Book Club. But the problem is we usually don't end up enjoying them, or at least I know I don't.
I feel like Grace ends up particularly angry at every book that we've read.
So they are like very angering. They just elicit like annoyed feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's nothing worse than reading a self-help book that you didn't want.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't ask for it. And you didn't think you needed to change, but the book is telling you you need to change and you have to finish it because it's for book club. All that to say, we decided to try something a little different this time. And so I suggested a book that is still nonfiction, but is just nonfiction and not self-help. And it's called The Body, A Guide for Occupants by Bill Bryson. So how'd you guys feel about this book? I won't be offended.
I really loved it, genuinely. It took me a minute to get into because kind of like the personal development books, I enjoyed, you know, biology and stuff back in the day, but I'm not really that into, you know, anatomy or anything now. And so at first I was kind of like, I gotta dredge up interest in this, and it's kind of just like a deluge of facts. like just a water hose of information. So I was kind of like I really enjoy like Malcolm Gladwell's style of nonfiction, where there's kind of like a unifying like concept, and he'll have like these really in-depth interesting stories that like relate to it, and he'll weave like facts and stuff in, but there are more like anecdote, like longer drawn out anecdotes, like throughout the book. And this one is just like quick. It's just like facts, facts, facts. Some stories, but even the stories are like kind of short.
Stories are like two lines, and you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That feels like it needs some more.
It could be a book in and of itself.
Yeah. They're crazy stories.
Yeah.
Told in less than a paragraph.
But it's very, I really liked it. I mean, I love Bill Bryson. So you can't really go wrong with him because he's going to write in like an interesting and funny way. It was very interesting and entertaining. And I listened to the audiobook.
I did the audiobook too.
Me too.
It was really good.
Me too.
At first I struggled. I didn't think I was going to make it through. I genuinely, because like Claire said, like the beginning is kind of like, it's hard to get into at first. And I was trying to listen to it while I was driving. And I genuinely almost fell asleep at the wheel. I had to turn it off. It was so boring.
What?
And then I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll just like skip forward. You know, I thought maybe there'd be like some stories. And then I did skip forward and there were no stories, but it somehow got more interesting. And then I was able to like go back and listen to the chapters that I skipped. And it was very good. And I did learn a lot of things.
That's so weird because I thought that the beginning was super interesting and that the book sort of lost steam midway. Not super lost steam, but like at the beginning, it was like these crazy facts about the body. And then in the middle, it was sort of just like misinformation about nutrition.
The nutrition was...
Well, the nutrition just made me sad because I felt like if our food is not as nutritious as it used to be, and we're all being like poisoned by sugar and trans fats, what are we to do? Like it was more, that was a little bit of like a womp womp for me.
Yeah. There's a lot of like, it's It's weird because it's so like just he's just kind of like laying things out that you're not going to feel like deeply depressed by anything in it. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of like things that could make you feel dismal about the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a lot of different. First of all, some of the anecdotes are crazy, but then you're like, wait, that's actually really sad.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, there's at first you're like, terrible, whoa,
sad
and you're
things.
Like, oh, that's like so depressing. Yeah. And then, yeah, there's just like some stuff about, you know, medicines and antibiotic. I don't know. There's all
the antibiotic stuff.
The antibiotic stuff would be really interesting.
I've been freaked out about antibiotics for, you know, everyone is mm-hmm, in mm-hmm. the U.S. I feel like we're like pretty freaked out about them, but yeah.
Well,
it got worse for
the thing
bit.
Is that what it was? I thought it offered good perspective though, because it's very easy in this day and age to be very freaked out by antibiotics, which I kind of fall into that camp of like, oh no, like I've got to drink my kefir, you know, because like I'm
all
no,
my
I,
gut bacteria all my is my, gone. Yeah.
Exactly. And like when my kids have had to have antibiotics, I'm always kind of like, oh, I don't really want them to have these, you know, but like they have an ear infection. But it was also nice to remind ourselves, like without antibiotics, how just like the smallest little cut could be like horrible for people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it is a good reminder.
That was one of the stories from the book was that, no, never mind.
What? Yeah, that was one of the stories. Well, yeah, there was a guy who I think scratched his head on a rose bush, right? And then it got mm-hmm. infected and he died.
Yeah, we just take it for granted that scratches aren't a big deal.
Yeah, we can mm-hmm. get, you know, some Neosporin or something and it'll be fine. But
it was so interesting. He said that our ability now to fight off infection is where it was back down to where it was like 40 years ago. Like, that's like one of the ways that medicine is mm-hmm. moving
declining.
Backwards,
yeah,
because of the antibiotic resistance and because it's not really a well-funded area of research.
Oh, so like, yeah, that was depressing.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting to think of not all science is moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of like stuff in the book where he's like, and we don't know anything about why this happened.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like scientists don't know why we sleep.
Yeah, that was one too where I was like, yeah. Excuse me?
And
I thought I've heard my one? Whole life like sleep is when your skin repairs, sleep is when your brain grows, sleep is when your muscles like, you know, develop and stuff. And I'm like, is none of that real? Or
yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like, we sleep because we're tired. Like, next question.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we solved
Anne has
that.
Solved it.
I also didn't understand that.
They don't know why we yawn, which I feel like I knew that already, but I'm just like, why can't we figure that out?
Mm-hmm.
And then
hiccups. They don't know how to solve hiccups.
Hiccups. Yes. Somebody was hiccuping till the day they died.
Yes.
Itching. Yeah, that sounds awful.
Itching. Oh my gosh. The lady that like scratched a hole through her skull.
That's
okay. Actually, that one I won't say where, but my integrity was called into question because I told that anecdote.
I remember somewhere, this.
And someone was like, that's not true. It just blatantly shut it down. And I was like, it was in a Bill Bryson book, and they didn't know who Bill Bryson was. So who's the dummy
yeah.
here? And
but wait anyway, a second. So we kind of just dove in without explaining who Bill Bryson is or what the book was about. So maybe we should give like a little synopsis. I mean,
did we say what the book was called?
Yeah, we said the title of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We said the title. And I think they've probably figured it out by now.
It's literally just facts.
It's a nonfiction book about the body.
And he goes through like area by area, like, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm.
the muscles, wrists, infection, eyes. Like, I mean, it's just like ever moving, everything you could think of about your body.
That doesn't really sound that interesting, but I don't know. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Were you excited for this, Grace?
I mean, I was like, I'll read it. I was more excited for it than I was about some of the self-help stuff. But
I'm offended.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
But as soon as it started, and the thing that really like blew my mind was the red blood cell. It's like one of the first, one of the early facts is he says that he starts a sentence and he says, by the time I started, in the time that it took to say this sentence, your body has already made 1 million red blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, a million? In like a couple seconds?
I feel myself like growing. expanding from the red blood cells.
It's unbelievable.
I feel my head itching.
Oh no.
Now I want to scratch a hole in my head. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's like you think like, oh, it's just facts about the body, but like it's we all live in these facts. Bodies. Mm-hmm. And they're so like, I know that like people say this all the time, but it is so cool. Like it's just really, one thing I liked was when he was talking about the brain and he was like, your everything you see in the world and like everything you perceive, like basically the world around you is created by a brain that has never seen the world. Like it's not even exposed. It has, but like your brain is like creating, I don't know. There's just like crazy and yeah, just insane, like the numbers of cells, the like, that was another thing that I was like, scientists don't know, like they don't know how many hairs we have on our bodies. And I was like, that feels like, I don't know that, I know I'm not a science person, but that feels like quantifiable.
Yeah, like it doesn't count.
Yeah, of all the things.
Yeah, you could.
There's got to be like a grad student somewhere that can research this.
That could do that. Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, but it just, I don't know. It pulled me in more than I would expect from like a book that's just straight facts.
Yeah. Well, you have to know Bill Bryson. Like, if you know anything about him or his writing style, like, I feel like that's part of what it comes down to, too, is like he just has a very kind of like dry sense of humor. It's not like laugh out loud funny, but witty and humorous, I would say, like woven throughout. Wouldn't you guys say?
Mm-hmm.
This is my first Bill Bryson. I've been aware of Bill Bryson since childhood.
I have to admit, I'm saying this as though, like, you gotta know Bill. It's just classic.
Like, yeah. Like, I'm very familiar with the cover of A Walk in the Woods.
Me too. I own it, and I've never read it. I read I'm a Stranger Here myself, and I liked it. I didn't, like, love it. But I feel like A Walk in the Woods made a big impression on me as a kid, because I feel like Mom and Grandma read it and, like, loved it.
I thought it was set in Alaska.
Yeah, I think I maybe did too, honestly, because there's a bear on it.
Mm-hmm. And we were in Alaska, and so I was like, oh, it's an Alaskan book.
I think I mixed Bill Bryson and Dave Barry up a lot, and I kind of think they're the same person.
Yeah, humor writers.
I know Dave Barry. Yeah, exactly. Which they are very different, because I'm pretty sure Dave Barry is wearing like a Hawaiian shirt in his little headshot, and Bill Bryson is like, it's interesting. He's the opposite of, I feel like, most... This is extremely American-centric of me, but I'm like, he's the opposite because he was born in America and he moved to England. I'm like, most people were born in England and moved to America. But it's confusing because he kind of has a British, he has a little bit of a British accent, but he was born in Iowa. So it's like, wait, what's his story? Like, but he just has lived in the UK for most of his adulthood. So he's British-American, but... Yeah, he has a very distinctive, like, humorous writing style that I think made the book very entertaining. Can I share my favorite story from the book?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, do you guys remember? So, okay, one thing that I thought was, like, super interesting, too, was just how a lot of scientists initially pioneered figuring a lot of this stuff out, because... Mm-hmm. Experimenting on the human body is often unethical in a lot of ways, you know, like, mm-hmm. it's hard to figure out how to, you know, see the inside of a living brain, or, you know, all these things that like they couldn't do before we had technology and stuff. So figuring out digestion, like what happened to food once we ate it, was like a mystery, understandably. So there was this, I think he was like a Canadian army officer or something named St. Martin. I can't remember what his first name was, but his last name was St. Martin. He was on Mackinac Island in Michigan.
I'm so sorry. It's Mackinac.
Oh, Mackinac.
You can't say Mackinac.
I'm so sorry.
You'll get ripped to shreds.
He was on Mackinac Island in Michigan. And he was in like a rifle shop, and another customer accidentally shot him, which I'm like, this was in like the 1800s or something. And I'm like, how?
It's a different world.
What
back then.
Was going on? Yeah. So he had like a hole in his, I think like his chest or his stomach, and he didn't die, thankfully. But somehow this scientist or doctor, Beaumont, I don't know how he got in touch with this guy, but he, in, this cracked me up, in exchange for him taking him in, he got to experiment on him, which I'm like, I love, I'm like, oh, I'll let you live with me and I perform experiments on you. So, sorry, this is gross. If you're squeamish, skip forward. But he would lower like strings or like wires through the hole into his stomach and like test the digestive what is it, hydrochloric acid
enzymes and whatever.
Yeah. And that's how they discovered that there's like acid in our stomachs. But it was like St. Martin was a difficult subject, as he would often disappear, sometimes for years at a time. And I'm like, maybe because he didn't want you experimenting on him anymore.
Yeah.
Wait, he had this whole
hole never healed. Yeah. And it so he was healed. Just like an open test subject for
what?
And what I love is that the doctor, sorry, Claire.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Not mean to take over. I loved that he said, but then Beaumont would always track him down.
Yeah.
It's like, how did he just like forced him to come back and do more experiments?
It was like Frankenstein and his monster, kind of. Like, they're just like always searching for each other. But I guess that St. Martin lived to be like 86, and he had a wife and 6 children, and he lived like a long, healthy life with this gaping hole. So
that's very surprising.
It's very surprising. Yeah. But I feel bad for him. I'm grateful that he, you know, because of him, we know about stomachs. But yeah, some of the stories were just a lot of scientists experimenting on themselves. Like, it was just kind of
injecting
crazy
themselves
stories.
With things.
Yeah.
Wait, I loved how excited everyone got about blood transfusions. And they were, it said they were just transfusing all sorts of things into the bloodstream. Like, just sheep's blood or like non-blood liquid, like they were just like going crazy with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people just had, I don't know, they had no fear back then. Mm-hmm. Like,
it was probably like lifespans were kind of short and no one knew what killed you anyway, so
that's true. You
might as well.
I liked that one doctor drank way back when, drank cholera.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
To make fun of that other scientist.
Yeah. And to like disprove it, but also had his assistants drink it. And the doctor didn't get sick, or the scientist, but the assistants got really sick. And he just glossed over that and used himself as like the example of like, no, it's not germ theory. Germ theory is incorrect because I drank this and I was fine. And his assistants are like extremely ill from it. Anyway.
Back to the antibiotics. Sorry, I know we've talked about this a lot already. I did want to point out that I was very grateful that Alexander Fleming got a shout out, you know, as the discoverer of penicillin, even though Bill Bryson did point out he didn't really fully discover it himself. He was just the more charismatic of the scientists involved, and so he became famous for it, which I do think is funny. That's always the case, yeah, with everything. But do you guys remember how we were doing that lookalike thing on Family Search and Alexander Fleming was my doppelganger?
Yes.
We did on Family Search, which is like our church's like family history website. there was like this little thing. They have all these fun little things you can do, like, where am I from? And, you know, there's one that's like, who do you look like? I think. Is that all it is? Mm-hmm. And it's not like I think you can do it for your family and then you can do it for just like historical figures. But we were getting the most unflattering.
So bad.
Not that Alexander Fleming is bad looking, but he's like a man in his 60s in this picture. And I was just like, what? But the people to choose from were so random.
Yeah, they had a very limited and weird selection. There was one, like, what was he? Like a world health, I don't know what he was.
He was not well
like,
known.
Some kind of data collector.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was.
We all looked like him.
Yeah, we all looked like him. Yeah. No one knew who he was.
And I'll just say it, he was ugly.
And
he was.
He wasn't. Yeah, he was the worst choice.
You know, other people have seen him. Know who it is.
We didn't name him.
Well, it's obvious that there's one non-famous person in the options.
They'll have to dig pretty deep.
Okay, I hope
that information.
Oh,
can I say some of my favorite facts from the book?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, this one kind of blew my mind. Our sense of touch. So your sense of touch knows, it can anticipate what things should feel like. Mm-hmm. And even through like a glove or something, you should be able to tell the difference between sand or I don't know. It was something like, you know, our sense of touch is, but it doesn't have a sensor for wetness. So we just tell things. I don't know if there's no sensor for wetness or if it's like just not as developed, but we pretty much just use our sense of heat to determine it. And so that's why sometimes when you sit on something cold, you think you sat on something wet, because
I don't remember that part.
We just can't really differentiate.
That makes so much sense, because that happens to me all the time where like I'll
be sure
wet, or I think I'm cold and it's like the other one. Yeah.
Another fact that I was interested in is that our eyes don't see in real time. So there's like a 1/5 of a second delay between what we see and like how quickly our brain can process it. But because we need that extra 1/5 of the second, like that's not quick enough. Our brain makes up for it by like just filling in what should be in 1/5 of the second. And so nothing we're seeing is really in real time. Like we're seeing 1/5 of a second projections of what our brain anticipates the world.
Whoa.
How do we know anything we see is real?
That's what it said. We don't. Like,
all made up.
Like lather or foam. You know, like he made a really good point. He's like, why does soap always create white lather no matter what color the soap is? And he's like, it's because the bubbles reflect a certain frequency of light that our eyes see as white. Like, it's not actually white. And I was like, well, then what's real?
And like birds and stuff see way more colors than us.
I believe it.
I desperately want to see.
Sorry, I'm testing out the wet in the thing.
World. I see Claire dropping little bits of water.
I dropped a drip of water into my palm and I'm breathing on it to try to warm it up to body temperature. I think I feel it. I wonder if I was born with a special.
No, I think special. I can feel when we're wet, but like I don't think you.
You can
I think
feel you that you're also touching something.
You see the water, and so your brain, like,
I don't know. I've had the experience of sitting on something cold and thinking it's wet for sure.
I mean, I think that when you actually touch liquid with your bare skin, like a thing of liquid, you can feel the way it moves. Like you know it's liquid. Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I mean, I'm waving my palms and it's cold where the water is.
Well, that's very scientific testing.
So it totally makes sense. I know, but I'm saying he's right. I am just feeling the temperature difference, probably.
I do think he probably is right, because
he probably
is using.
I think it maybe is something where like skin to liquid contact. You can tell it's liquid, but like if there's just some liquid on another layer between you, you can't tell the difference, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
You know, like you could differentiate sitting in sand versus sitting in grass,
mm-hmm.
but you can't differentiate sitting on a cold bench versus sitting on a wet bench.
Yeah, I could see that. Have you ever had the experience of putting on like damp jeans from the dryer?
Ugh.
And once it warms up to your body temperature, though, it still feels bad. My mind's trying to work it through.
But that's because the breeze,
yeah.
the air hits it.
Like, yeah.
I don't think he was saying that
you can that never feel when
there's
you're
no
wet.
You can't
feel when something's wet.
Like, we obviously know when we're wet, but like, it's just.
Just that there's not a specific.
Claire's like bent on disproving this theory.
I am.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Can I say an interesting fact to get us off of this yes. horrible experiment?
Yes.
Okay. I had to look it up because I knew I would bungle it. But it says when loss of balance is prolonged or severe, the brain doesn't know quite what to make of it and interprets it as poisoning. That is why loss of balance generally results in nausea.
I thought that was really interesting, too.
That is so weird.
Yeah.
Why does it think it's poison?
I know. It sounds so dramatic.
What?
They seem like two very unrelated things.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand.
Another thing I thought was really interesting on the topic of nausea is that food poisoning is way more common than we think. And we typically want to attribute it to like the last thing we ate, like, oh, I just had McDonald's, you know, or whatever you just had. And it actually takes a lot longer to develop. It's more like 72 hours, even though I've always heard like 12 to 24 hours. But I guess that's just interesting to me because you hear people all the time be like, it was that chicken I just ate. Mm-hmm. Like, I immediately.
People are always so sure about what it was.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah. it's like, it could have been
that
days
time
ago.
I did eat that raw bean. And then
yeah,
8 hours later, I was really sick. So I don't know about this theory.
Yeah.
Raw bean.
Raw beans, Grace said, the number one cause of food poisoning.
Something
right?
like that. It's.
Undercooked beans.
Undercooked beans are like
he said. Leafy greens like the, in the book.
The least known. Maybe it's just. Well, maybe
you
he
said
didn't
number
know.
One.
I don't
said
know.
Number
Google
one.
It.
Was,
okay,
was wrong.
Just
you
Google
Bill.
It. Google undercooked beans. You'll be shocked at what you find.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to wrap up for the sake of time. But I feel like we could keep talking about random interesting things forever. So. Would you guys recommend that our listeners read this book if we haven't? There's so much more they could learn than what we've bungled. And the information we've given you is probably not accurate. So you should just read it for yourself. But yeah, I
would
totally recommend
it. A lot of it's not super gross. Like there are, I'm sure you could tell which sections you should skip if you're squeamish.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of it that was just interesting.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Okay, well, let's do weekly wins.
Okay, my weekly win is I found a pair of pants that I love, and I'm going to share it with the world.
Are they the Costco linen ones?
No.
Oh, that was my weekly win. Sorry, you do yours first. I was going to laugh if it was mine.
Really?
Same. Yeah.
Pants too?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, my pants are from Target, and I panic bought them before my trip because I didn't have any, like, cool pants.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
I don't have any pants either.
And have pants that I would want to wear all day.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I'll wear pants for like a couple
hours.
That's
such a good
That's
point.
That's such a true thing.
Most of my pants have a 6 hour limit.
So I found comfy, cool pants that I think could also work for summer. They're cargo pants. Okay, they're from Target. They're called Women's Mid-Rise Utility Cargo Pants Universal Thread.
I love a utility pant.
And here's the thing, they're cargo pants, but they're not overly youthful
Ooh,
cargo
these are
pants.
Cute.
You could wear them as a grown millennial,
mm-hmm.
and they'd still be appropriate. They're not like too terribly trendy.
These are
for cargo
so cute.
Pants.
I have to have
they're
these.
They're so comfy. They're kind of lightweight. They're perfect.
They look
and they're pretty long, which is rare. I'm having a very hard time finding pants right now because I feel like they're all like cropped and they just end up looking like capris on me. These ones are actually long enough. They have some cute colors. I got the olive green ones, but I might have to get, I'm looking at the other colors. I might order the cream ones right now as we speak.
Those cream are calling to me.
Yeah, the cream would be really cute for summer.
So give them a try. Can you send me the link? Yeah, I'll send you the link.
They're very easy to
Google. Find. That's true.
I didn't take down the name.
That's okay.
I didn't take down the name.
Target does have a lot of cargo pants.
That's actually
right now,
fair. So I'm sorry.
You could end up getting
them. I am literally looking. You're right. There's hundreds and they're all shades of brown, tan, or green. So yeah. That's fair. Well, my pants, I'll just stay on the pants train. Mine are just from Costco. I actually haven't worn them out of the house yet. So, you know, that comes with a disclaimer. They were on sale at my Costco for, I think, $10.99. And people were swarming the table.
Of course.
But
maybe I missed them.
No, I don't think so. I mean, there were plenty.
They're probably gone. I feel like they sell out of things in like one day.
They might. But I mean, I bet if you went tomorrow, they'd still be there. I was there to like this afternoon. I got just kind of like the linen flax color. They're an elastic waist. They are like a full length, which I feel like is tricky. They were the perfect length on me, but I'm kind of short. So like, I don't think they'd
work
on Anne.
That's what I'd like to hear.
They're not like a cropped. They're, you know, they're supposed to be full length. So the length would be maybe tricky for people, but they're an elastic waist and they're not see-through at all. I hope that they wear well because, oh, and they have back pockets, which I appreciate because I feel like a lot of linen pants don't have bum pockets, which is a no for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm excited about them. I mean, even if they're not the best pants ever, they were $11 and they're really comfy. So I just need some pants. I don't know why pants are so hard.
They're so hard.
Yeah. And I never have pants. Like it's weird I never
every
have
time
pants.
I buy pants, I'm like, I have plenty of pants now. They're like socks somehow. They like disappear in the wash or something.
Yeah.
Well, my win is Costco related, which is and I tried these first at Claire's house, but I got some at Costco because I saw them. Have you had the Flavor Bomb tomatoes? Are they called Flavor Bombs?
Yeah, they're Flavor Bomb
tomatoes. They're like cherry tomatoes on the vine. They're so good.
They are good.
I snack on them all day long.
They're just like
they're
little.
They're so good.
They're little beauties.
Because I love cherry tomatoes,
mm-hmm,
but sometimes they're kind of. They don't really have a flavor,
mm-hmm,
or like they don't have a ton of flavor. These ones, they're flavor bombs.
They're flavor bombs. They're, so they're good. Really like tender. Like they're a good texture, firmness. Yeah.
People who hate tomatoes right now are just like shuddering because
mm-hmm.
This is like all the worst things about like a flavor bomb of tomatoness.
Yeah,
and like being tender.
That
sounds so good to me.
I did my annual trip to Home Depot today where I buy plants as if I'm going to be able to keep them alive. And I bought some tomato plants. And as I was buying them, I was like, these aren't like that cheap and they're not going to produce tomatoes. And I could just.
You can do tomatoes, Claire. You can do
I try every year and I've only ever gotten maybe like 4 tomatoes total.
Oh,
I don't know. Okay. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. But I was like, I could just go to Costco and get delicious tomatoes ready made.
Flavor bomb.
Yeah.
They're so good.
My weekly win is just this morning when I woke up on my own and not to Gwen, like miraculously slept in really late. And when I woke up, there was a thunderstorm outside and my window was like, I could see out. And then I just got to go back to sleep because I woke up a little bit early, saw the thunderstorm, went back to sleep.
That's a nice morning.
It was such a nice feeling. It was great.
That just flooded my body with like calming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It was the most calm I've been in probably, I don't know how long.
That sounds so nice. There's nothing better than getting to go back to sleep.
Okay, I think that wraps it up for this week. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe to our show and visit our website, hopculturepod.com. We'll also be popping up on Instagram throughout the week, so follow Hop Culture Pod for more fun. See you next week.